97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Pro-Palestinian, that's what these have been called over the last few days, but safe to say this is much more than pro-Palestinian protests, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel from what you've seen.
No question. It has gone from what you would hope would be people protesting to create an appropriate settlement in what's happened in the Middle East. And by the way, these chanters have no idea, or seem to have no idea, that Hamas has rejected 5 different offers for a ceasefire. Their refusal to release the hostages, their refusal to surrender, and their continued activity in hiding among civilians.
That is a Democratic Congresswoman, Kathy Manning, who's gone on the attack against some of these protests that have happened on campus. And there is talk of offers of a ceasefire now, among other things. And we have Victoria Coates with us, who is a former deputy national security advisor to President Trump and now a foreign policy expert at Heritage. Victoria, welcome back. Victoria, are you there?
Sorry, I accidentally muted myself.
That's okay. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. You know, I relish the fact that every Friday I get to have somebody from Heritage on who's so versed in this foreign policy area, because so much is going on internationally right now, including what I read yesterday about the fact that the PLO or the Palestinian government or whatever, Hamas has offered a 5-year peace treaty or something like that, and are now pushing for a 2-state solution all of a sudden after years of always rejecting that. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing here is that Hamas in particular, who are the ones who have made this offer, are feeling the crunch from Israel. I mean, the story you won't read in media is that Israel is winning. This war is going very badly for Hamas. Israel's closing in on their last kind of stronghold in Rafah, where they have their last functioning brigades. And so what they're saying, and this is the key detail here where the devil is that if Israel goes back to its 1967 borders, that they will agree to this peace deal. And the problem with that is the borders were untenable in 1967 for a reason. That would mean Israel would give up big, huge chunks of Jerusalem, among other things, and they would have to give up the Golan Heights, all these areas that are key to Israel's security.
Right. Sounds like a non-starter to me. I just can't envision Benjamin Netanyahu looking at that with any seriousness.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this is like the ground where the King David Hotel is, you know, all these kinds of things. You know, it's just not going to happen. This isn't serious. And, you know, the Palestinians have been offered over the course of the last 30 years, the Oslo Peace Accords. They've had the offers from President Clinton, from President Bush, and they've turned them all down and instead have reverted to tactics like October 7th. They're not interested in this yet because nobody's had the courage to tell them that actually in 1967, they lost. They lost the war.
Yes.
You know, I saw something interesting about this foreign aid package, the bill that was just signed into law that does give some money to Israel. But I did not know this until now, that supposedly it also allocates $481 million to settle illegal immigrants in U.S. cities and another $3.5 billion to expand mass migration programs internationally. Are you familiar with that? What does that entail?
No, this is outrageous, and this is maybe the key reason, but it's only one reason that we at Heritage strongly opposed the supplemental. But there's actually a total of $9 billion that could be used in various ways to go to the Palestinians, and they tucked it into the Israel package. But we don't give humanitarian aid to Israel. We don't spend money resettling Israelis in the United States. That's all going to go to Gaza and West Bank. $9 billion. Over the first 3 years of the Biden administration, in total, they gave the Palestinians $1.25 billion. So this dwarfs that. It dwarfs any assistance we've ever run through USAID, who's going to be administering this. So it's a historic gift to the Palestinians, I guess, a reward for October 7th.
I mean, does that mean, though, that they could be spending that money to bring some of those, say, Palestinians over to the United States?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it means. And that's what they plan to do with it. And there's, I mean, there is unfortunately a reason that Egypt won't take the women and children out of Gaza, which they, I mean, logic would say that if the Egyptians are concerned about the situation in Gaza, maybe they could let the women and children cross into the Sinai Desert. They've said absolutely not, because they know.
Yeah, it's a good point. Victoria, before I run out of time, you've got a statement here basically from Heritage saying that that foreign aid package emboldens communist China. How is that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, Mark, I mean, everything that's in there makes China happy. So we are the funder of choice for Ukraine. We've got another $60 billion going to Ukraine that won't be going to strengthening our military here at home. And guess what? They did that as debt. So that further weakens our economy. That makes them happy. They love the fact that we are funding both sides of the war in Israel. And then finally, the money for our Indo-Pacific forces, which is something we should do. Again, it's been done as an emergency. It's more debt, and it's $8 billion. It's less than we're going to give to the Palestinians.
Wow.
That hardly makes the Pacific a priority.
Well, it's the truth. Victoria Coates, foreign policy expert there at the Heritage Foundation, thank you for your time this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
great. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Great insight into what's going on there around the world. You got to pay attention. Gosh, what bad stuff in that package. And it was voted on overwhelmingly, and you're supposed to feel guilty if you disagree with it. And you just heard all of the bad stuff that's in there.
And championed by Mike Johnson.
Oh, my gosh.
It's disappointing.
It is disappointing, to say the least. Well, did you have this on your bingo card? Let's see. We had COVID. We've heard of bird flu. Now we're told that cows might have bird flu. And there's some new regulations out there. We're going to talk to Jeff Manasso, get an update on that for you when we come back.
Get more at 971talk.com.